I am saying this shiur on Tisha B'Av. I had wanted to say it earlier and put it up, so it should be there already before Tisha B'Av, but for technical reasons I wasn't able to do it. But I'm in Tisha B'Av mode, at least to the extent that I'm able to be. It's not an easy avoided Tisha B'Av, as all of us know. And what exactly, I've been asking myself, what exactly are we being misabel on? Don't have the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. We went into Golos. What does the Beis HaMikdash really mean to us? And, you know, that's a problem which all of us have, and our Talmidim certainly have. Yeah, to say that we are actually longing for the Avodas HaKorbanos, something which we have no musak on in any real tangible sense, it's difficult. It sounds strange to us. I heard, or maybe I've read in various places, that the Goinim, who were the Goyser Rabbeim of Klal Yisrael in Kochim, the Brisker of Zecher Tzadik Livrochem, others like him, right, that the, you could tell on Yom Kippur when they said the Avoider, with how much regesh they said the Avoider, all the protim of what the Kohen Gadol did on Yom Kippur, perhaps because they had lived through those sugyas in the Gemara. And perhaps if I would have learned more Kochim, I would have felt a greater pull towards the Avodah of Korbanos. Like, this is something which I don't know how to relate to. But, Shine, look, we have to live, we are who we are. The question is that I think that there's another aspect of the Beis HaMikdash which creates perhaps a reason for us to be very, very misabel, but at the same time, which makes it harder to be misabel, at least according to my way of thinking. Let's go back to the original Tisha B'Av. Yes, so Vayivko Am Balaila Hahu by the Meraglim, and the Rebbein Shem comes along and tells them that you were Bechisam Bechiyah Shel Chinam, and I'm going to be Miyachet Tisha B'Av as a Bechiya LeDoiros. Okay, we know the story of the Meraglim. What is the connection, really? Like, why is the Churban HaBayis a result of the crying of the because of the Meraglim? In other words, they wanted the Meraglim, and the Meraglim came back with a negative report. As far as they were concerned, it sounded like a negative report. They weren't oimed on the fact that the people were dying just in order to take their attention. The Rebbein Shem did a lot of good things, but we weren't able to be koilet that. And so, Vayivko Am Balayla Hahu, and the Rebbein Shem said, it's going to be a Bechiyah LeDoiros. What's the connection between the chet of the Meraglim and the churban of the Beis HaMikdash? So I think we've talked about that in the past. I think it's probably got some truth to it, that the issue over here was l'chore apele. Why do you want the Meraglim? The Rebbein Shem had said already at the beginning of the Devarim, right? That they were not going to need Klei Zayin in order to get into Eretz Yisrael. Because I think that the reason is, I've been masbir that in other shiurim, I think, the famous Ramban in Noach, that the Ramban in Noach says, so why was it that the Rebbein Shem gave Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, he gave it to the Canaanim, dafka to the Canaanim, why did he give it to them? So the answer is, he says, because they had the klola from Noach, that Eved Avodim, that Knan should be an Eved, and Memela, the Rebbein Shem put them in Eretz Yisrael, that they should get Eretz Yisrael ready for Klal Yisrael to come in when they're ready. So when it's when the Yidden come in, they should come in with built houses and plowed fields. Knan was an Eved. No, so what were they so worried about with the Meraglim? Why did they need the Meraglim? And they got, it's an Eretz Yashveh. They knew that everything that they saw over there, why couldn't they be oimed on the fact that maybe The fact that these people were dying. Why weren't they Oymed on the Rebbeinu Shlom's Cheshbon? The Rebbeinu Shlom had a good Cheshbon. Yeah, they're going to, everybody's going to look at them, and it's going to make the Rigul a very difficult process. So I'll have them busy with making Levayas, and Memela, nobody's going to notice them. Why? Look, there's a mitzvah of being done the Kavschus. You can be done the Rebbeinu Shlom the Kavschus. After 40 years in the Midbar with Mon and the Be'er, and alle gute Sachen and Mistama Goyse Shiurim. So why didn't it occur to them that maybe it's okay, that everything is all right? Like, what was menia them? What made them? Made us, I mean, it's the same Klal Yisrael. Why were we so negative? It's a very, very difficult thing to understand. And especially the Loshen, if you look in the Loshen over here, by the main river, so the Be'er was finished. Why didn't we die of Deva together with other Yidden before? This was what they were grumbling, or what we were grumbling as we were coming out of Mitzrayim 40 years ago, or 38 years ago. So it's the same thing. Like, haven't we learned anything? Haven't we learned? And what is going on? It's a very, very strange thing. And I'll be Mitzarev, there's also with a shiur which I've given a couple of times, I think, and mentioned in various shiurim, that it's so interesting that when they did grumble about the Mon, over here, Chukas later on, earlier in Baloischa. So when they were, it was always like when they were on the doorstep of Eretz Yisrael. Like, why was that? Just now, for example, now they're 40 years, the end of 40 years, and they're right on the doorstep of Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be another few weeks, and they'll be in Eretz Yisrael. So what did I have to grumble about the month? For 38 years it was okay, so now why you can't live another couple of weeks like this? I think that the vote is, and that I think answers the original question also, like why were they so afraid? Hadn't the Rebbeinu Shalom said, or wasn't it Yodua? Maybe it wasn't Yodua yet at the time. We haven't learned the Vorim yet, which we're still in Chukas. But Einchem Tzrichim the Klizayin, the Moshe Rabbeinu could have been Masbe that to them. What did I say with that Ramban? The Knanim understand that they were there because they were Avodim. And when you're going to come in, they're going to come in and say, good morning, sir, may I take you to your house? This house was built with you in mind. They were the ones who were supposed to get Eretz Yisrael ready. No, so now they're finished getting them ready, and so now the Yidden are coming, so they will leave. What's the problem? So why did they feel that they needed the Meraglim? It's not for 40 years, they've had a life which is not a Tevadikah kind of life. So then if that is so what makes them so scared now? It's so difficult to understand. We're not bad people. Yidden are good. Yidden is good to sein a Yid. Yidden are Yidden. It's beautiful. But sometimes we acted so unbeautifully. Like, what was the problem with the Meraglim? Why was it so hard? I don't know how I would have acted at the time. I don't know how anybody of us would have acted. I don't suppose we're greater tzaddikim than they were. So maybe we would also. But why? What's so problematic? You have the answers right there. You just now lived for 40 years on this one. So you can't believe that Einchem Tzrichim L'Klezayin. So go in and trust the Rebbeinu Shalom. He hasn't let you down all the years in the Midbar, so he won't let you down coming into Eretz Yisrael. Everybody's burying their dead. Although there is a logic to that. I think I said that also in the Shia earlier once. I'm sorry to repeat myself the whole time, but it's sort of, I'm trying to build a picture. I'm trying to create a picture. Like this business with the people dying. So the Rebbeinu Shalom meant it well. Yeah, because they'll be burying the people. They won't have time to bother with you and you'll be safe. How did they touch it? So Mistama, they touched it like that. They had a big problem. I don't know whether this is right. I haven't seen it anywhere, but that's the way I've always looked at it. What were they so worried about because of the people dying? So I think it was like this, that the people dying created a big kashya for them. It created a big kashya for them.
Why? Because the fruits were such humongous fruits. They were so big and so healthy. The land was obviously such a healthy land which produced such healthy fruits. So why didn't it produce healthy people? Why are they all dying? If it's such a healthy place, so then why are they all dying? So the Talmud says, I think, that the what is they said, because the fact that it has such healthy fruits, that's the chitzonius of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, that it's the greatest place, it's the most holy place, it's the place most close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mimele, everything is perfect, 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 including the fruits. And that's why they have such great fruits. And then they ask themselves, so why is everybody dying? Must be because it's hard to live in a perfect place. And Mimele, they didn't live up to the madregas which were expected of them. And that's why they're all dying. So what are we going to do? What do we have to go to that place for? Like, we're also not going to be able to live up to it. It's all like, it sounds like so much confusion. In other words, what we have, and we're going to come back to in a moment to the question which I started, but I don't want to lose sight of that. Like, why is the Churban Habayis a chelek of the chet of the Meraglim? It sounds like a very confused nation. Because there is l'chaira a reason to look confused. Why? Because how had they lived for these 40 years? They lived on Nisim, the Mon and the Be'er. They lived the life of Nisim. Is it good to live with Nisim, or is it not good to live with Nisim? Now, from this Sipurim, which we have in the Torah, and I've mentioned also the Shashmaitze in the Hakdoma, what he says over there, by Nafshenu Kotzo, Milechem HaKloikel, like, why were they grumbling about the Mon just before they were going into Eretz Yisrael? The Torah is because the Mon and the Be'er and all their experiences in the Midbar, everything was Nisim, 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 Nisim. And they were living in a physical world. They were walking through the desert. They saw the sunrise in the morning. They saw the moon come out at night. They had the rain, or they didn't have the rain. They had the this, or they had the that. And they were also people who lived in a physical world. So I think that, especially according to that Shashmaitz, I've mentioned it before, right? Nafshenu Kotzo Melechem HaKloikel. He says, because Kotzo is the gematri of the Tsar, who's Mutzuva on Torah, and he was the one who sent the Mon down, because when you ate Mon, you were Mukhruch to learn Torah. They wanted to live normal lives. Any of us who've ever felt a sense of relief by Ne'ila on Yom Kippur, and Shine, it's stuck at the holiest moment of the year, and Neil is Neil. Yeah, but maybe if some of us who are a little more human than others, it's a little bit of a relief also. Okay, I've gone through the Aseret Yemei, I've tried my best, Yom Kippur, I've tried my best, and I've davened and heaven, so no, but now I go back to normal. Maybe there is an attraction in a normal life which is not lived at the level of Nisim at every turn in our experience. And I think that that is the answer to the question. Why did they lose the Beis HaMikdash because of the Chet of the Meraglim? Why did we lose the Beis HaMikdash because of the Chet of the Meraglim? I think that the reason is because the reason why they wanted the Meraglim, yeah, why they wanted the Meraglim is because they wanted to get into Eretz Yisrael not with Neis, but with normal Mahalchim. You go and you take over a country from thousands of people who've been living there for many, many years and regard it as their own, possibly. Yeah. So then you have to fight. They wanted to go in a normal way. That idea that the Ribbono Shel Olam said, Ein Tzrichim L'Klei Zayin, that's exactly what they didn't want. They were hoping that when they get into Eretz Yisrael, they would be able to Yishtachas Gafna, Yishtachas Teinosa. They don't have to have the Mon. Either Mon is wonderful. Yeah, but it's a Mechayev. I can understand that. I guess I'm sufficiently Megushim to understand that a normal life is also very, very pleasant. I mean, it can be very horrible also. you know, Chas v'Shalom, this source, this source. But Be'etzem, that's really maybe a human being craves for that. And that is what I'm thinking. Yeah, so they wanted the Meraglim means we want normalcy. If you want normalcy, you don't need the Beis HaMikdash. That is the pshat, that if you want the Meraglim because you want normalcy, so then you don't need the Beis HaMikdash. Because the Beis HaMikdash is not normal. I think I've also talked about this. You know, it's such a strange thing that Gemara and Shabbos, that when Shlomo HaMelech came to bring the Oroin into the Beis HaMikdash, so the gates didn't want to open. So he says, I'm bringing the Oroin. We should let him in. So the gates didn't want to open. These are Melech HaKovet. They asked, who's this Melech HaKovet you're talking about? Right? They thought it meant him. So we're not going to open for you. So who are you talking about? So he says, no, I didn't mean myself. I said, Hashem Yisus v'gibay, Hashem gibay milchama. I meant the Rebbein Shlalem. And so then, and so on and so forth. But maybe you remember this year, but it was such a matnesach. What does it mean? That Shlomo HaMelech is arguing, yeah, that you thought I meant myself. I didn't mean myself. I meant the Rebbein Shlalem. Now, if he would have said I meant the Rebbein Shlalem, and he would have stopped there, oh, that's very good. That you can understand. But what did he say? David HaMelech wasn't allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash because he was an Ish Milchama. So now you're saying that the Rebbein Shlalem, you should open the gates for the Rebbein Shlalem because he's an Ish Milchama. That's the last thing they should have said. What is a Milchama, a plus or a minus for the Beis HaMikdash? The Ramban says, and when he's Masbir, the Chet of David HaMelech. So he says, what does it mean? Means that it's a base of Rachamim. And since he was a warrior, so he's an Ish Adin, and so the that's not Roy for a base of Rachamim. The base of Mikdash is a base of Rachamim, so if you're a Din person, so then the Rabban Shalom Ish Milchama, yeah, Hashem is Zuz V'Gibor, Hashem is Zuz V'Gibor, Hashem Gibor Milchama. What's the answer? The answer is that the Rebbein Shem is a Gibor Milchama, but the way the Rebbein Shem does Milchama. We see that same thing in the Shiro. Maybe you remember that also. Yeah, what does it say over there? Zekeli vanveyu, Elohei aviva raimemeno. Right? They sang, Zekeli vanveyu, and the Targum says, I'll build a Beis HaMikdash for him. Zekeli vanveyu, Elohei aviva raimemeno. Hashem ish Milchama, Hashem Shemai. Right afterwards, he says, Hashem Yish Milchama. He's just now said you're going to build a Beis HaMikdash for him. And we learned by David HaMelech that being an Ish Milchama is not a mile in building a Beis HaMikdash. So if it's not a mile in building a Beis HaMikdash, so why is it a mile for the Rebbein Shlalem? Tell it is Hashem Shemai. Because the Rebbein Shlalem does Milchama not with a gun, but with Hashem Shemai. When the Rebbein Shlalem fears Milchama, that means that all opposition melts away. Ki'ilu loy hoyam. That's what's going on over here. So the Rebbein Shlalem is that's what the Beis HaMikdash is. What is the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash is, why do you have to mention that he's an Ish Milchama? Yeah, noch einmal. Su'ushon Rashechem v'nosu p'Yisraelam v'yoram melech ha'kovat. Mizem melech ha'kovat? Oh, Hashem Yisus v'gibor, Hashem gibor milchama. What's that got to do with coming into the Beis HaMikdash? Let's say it's not a stira, like we said, because he does milchama with shame. So it's not a stira. But why is it a mile? Why is it a mile to be an Ish Milchama when you're going to bring the Oron into the Beis HaMikdash? So I think that the vote is that the Milchama which the Rebbein Shem fears, the Beis HaMikdash is really a place of Milchama. What's the Milchama? The Milchama is of taking the physical and making it into the spiritual. That's what a korban is. You take an ox and you make an oiler out of him. Yeah, you could see that as a milchama, fighting against the physical, fighting against the lower instincts of a world which is a physical world. And that can also be termed a milchama. So the Rebbein Shem is somebody who can take physicality and change it into spirituality. I hate these words, but I can't think of any better words right now. So that is what's going on. So there is a total confusion, I think. And that's what the Sheshmaitre says over there. that what did they say? They said, we don't want to eat the man which is telling us to learn Torah bal kocho. Why can't I have a little barbecue with the kids and just have some food and have some this and have a... why do I need all this? There is a pull. There is a pull towards the physical. For people who live in a physical world. In other words, I'm coming now to the side which I'm trying to talk about, the Beis HaMikdash, and what we have to be misabel on. Let's not forget that we're talking in a Tisha B'Av dekumot. So what I mean is that the Beis HaMikdash, I think, created a problem for people also. And that is because, I don't know whether I'm right, I haven't seen this anywhere, and please don't accept it if you don't agree, or ask somebody if it's sayable. But the Beis HaMikdash is also a difficult thing to live with. Why? Because besides the Mizbechas and the Mizbeach and the Heichal and the Menorah and the Lechem HaPanim, there's also a Kodesh Kodoshim. There's also a Kodesh Kodoshim, which is, if you can say that, if I don't know whether the words are matim exactly to what I'm trying to say, that is an Olam HaSoelyonim. The Kodesh Kodoshim, Gemara says that Mokom HaOrein and the Kruvim, Shlom HaMelech's Kruvim, Eino Min HaMida, right? There were no dimensions over there, a limitless amount of space. We don't know how it worked, but the Gemara says it all, because the wings of the Kruvim, not the ones on the Oran, the ones which Shlomo HaMelech put in, so they filled up the entire space, so there was no place for the Oran, for the Kruvim, I mean. Yeah, because the wings themselves took up the entire width of the Kodesh Kodoshim. Torah says, because the Kodesh Kodoshim is not a physical world. It's completely unphysical. The Kodesh Kodoshim is an unphysical entity. And Mimela, so I'm a poshti yid, and I come to the Beis HaMikdash, and I bring my chatos, if I didn't have it, or whatever it is, yeah? So I have to cope with a duality which the presence of the Beis HaMikdash is matel on me. In other words, I know that there's a Kodesh Kodoshim. I know that only the Kohen Gadol goes in once a year, and I have no prospect of ever seeing it, and it doesn't matter. But the fact that the Ribbono Shel held that the Beis HaMikdash, which is in the midst of Klal Yisrael, v'shochanti b'soichem, so the v'shochanti b'soichem, yeah, is true at a level of the Heichal also, but it's also true on the level of the Oron and the Kodesh Kodoshim. So there is a reminder to Yidden that you have to be able to live with the Elyonim also. And that is something which is a difficult thing, and that may be that we ought to be being misabel on that, because that we mamish don't have anything. The Kobonus at least, we say the Kobonus by davening in the morning, and we daven mincha, we know about Kobonus. So even if it's not a form of avoider which comes very naturally to us, but at the same time, so we know. But there's also the Kodesh Kodoshim. Like, how do I relate to that? Right? It's mechapo on avak loshen hara. So the Maral says, I think, that why do you need the Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh Kodoshim to be mechapo on avak loshen hara? Because the Gemara says, kulam b'avak loshen hara. If you're human, you talk avak loshen hara also. So how can it be mechapo? Teretz says, because you're not human. The Malach, the Kohen Gadol who went into the Kodesh Kodoshim, is above human. So... why is that down in my Beis HaMikdash? What is that shaychus? Does that have to me? The teretz is, I think, that aspect of the Kodesh Kodoshim, that being from the Olam HaSoelyonim, is also mechayev me. Now, I don't know whether the following is true, but I think that it may be true. For example, if you learn brochas, so you learn ketzad mevorchen, so there's a din of birchas hanenen. So, Birchas HaNenen. So how do you know you have to make Birchas HaNenen? So Gemara says, that you're not allowed to be Nene from Olim HaZeh B'loi Brocha. So always had the question, so why can't Goyim, why do Goyim not have to make a Brocha? They're not allowed to steal either. That's one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So if the Hashem Oretz Umeloya, the Oretz Umeloya belongs to the Rebbein Shlalom, and the Rebbein Shlalom charges, but to say I want a brocha, that you should acknowledge that I'm the Balabas, so why isn't that Mechuyev by Goyim also? I think that's the terrorists, because the Goyim, they, to them, Olam Hazeh belongs. And Mimelu, they don't have to pay anything. It's all there for them, that's there. We have no business to be down here altogether. We belong to the Olam Hazeh Elyonim. That was the deal which Yaakov Avinu made with Esav, right? That he said, look, we have these Shnei Olamos, why don't we do it like that? You take Olam Hazeh and I'll take Olam Habo. You'll have a lot more fun than I will. Because you're over there, you have Piruv Yerevi, and you have eating and drinking, and alle gute Sachen, bepragmatio, masomaton. You'll have a wonderful life. I'll be up there in the Olam Hazeh Elyonim. Who knows what's going on up there? So that was it. So we belong to the Olam Hazeh Elyonim. If we belong to the Olam Hazeh Elyonim, so what are we doing down here? So there's a big maral about that. A footnote talks about it on Chanukah, that if something belongs into the Olam Hazeh Elyonim and it's down here, so what's it doing down here? So it's down here in order to be mashpia. They're cheshbonos. But the word is, so we Jews, we live in a difficult kind of situation, that we have to balance our physicality and our feeling at home pretty much in our physical world, and maybe even enjoying it. Those of us who are zeicher to Hashem to live happy lives, and you can enjoy life in this world. Hashem wants us to enjoy life. So, but on the other hand, the Kodesh Kedoshim is there, making very, very big demands on us, and having us realize that there's also a dimension of us which makes us into Bnei Olam Habo. I just want to say this last word because it fits into what we're saying over here, and then we'll finish. What I'm trying to say is that when we're being misabel on the Kodesh on the Beis HaMikdash, we have to understand, I think, that we have to be misabel not only on the walls of the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbechas and the Kabonas and the whatever is involved over there. We have to be misabel on the fact that this idea of also being members or belonging to the Olam Hazeh Elyonim is entirely lost to us. That doesn't occur to us during the year. At least I don't know about any of you who are listening to this year, but I can tell you with absolute clock that since last Tisha B'Av till today, I don't think I've thought once of the fact that, I'm supposed to be somebody who acts as somebody who really belongs into the Olam Hazeh Elyonim. Halavaya should be able to be an Elch Yid in a very, very basic function. But that is really what the Beis HaMikdash is mechayev us. In other words, it draws to our attention the fact that we are not posher to people. We're not posher to people. We are the children of Yaakov Avinu, and that is what I want to finish with, because I'm just happening to be learning about the Vayeovek Ish Imoy Adalois HaShocha, the fight which Yaakov Avinu had. And there are lots of things over there. I'm really orangutan in that sugya at the moment, for whatever reason, but it's a big, big, big sugya. I just want to mention a part of it. It sounds so funny. But my first instinct was like this, yeah? What's it say? Vayivose Yaakov levada, vayeovek ish imar ad alois hashocha. Yeah, an ish. Who's that ish? I don't know. Doesn't say. He doesn't introduce himself. Throughout the story, as the story is told, there's no motivation. We don't know why he's fighting Yaakov. And Yaakov, as far as I can see, doesn't know why he's fighting him. It's a very strange pasha. But what I wanted to point out is that Vayeovek ish imoy, and it's funny that after that first introduction, Vayeovek ish imoy, this Malach, Chazal tells us it's the Sora Shel Esav, so he only comes as a pronoun. He said, he asked, he did. Nothing is mentioned. In the first pasuk, ish is mentioned. After that, he's only a pronoun. He. My inclination was to compare it to the meeting of the Malach with Shimshon's mother and subsequently with Manoah, Shimshon's father. right? Vayovay Malach Hashem to the mother. And then later on, when Manoach wants to talk to him, Vayomer Malach Hashem el Manoach, Vayomer Malach Hashem el Manoach, Vayomer Malach Hashem el Manoach. What's going on? Right? I mean, there he's introduced as a Malach, and every time he opens his mouth and says something, it's the Malach Hashem who's talking to let's say, Manoach. Over here, he's not introduced as a Malach Hashem, he's introduced as an Ish. So I think the psukim maybe where Malachim also referred to as Ishim, that depends. I don't know exactly what the mashmos of each loshen is, but Ish certainly doesn't. I mean, we needed Chazal to tell us that he's the Sashel Esav. So why is he an Ish, and why is there so little like care to be mechabed him? I mean, over there by in Shoftim, by Shimshon. So Malach Hashem, Malach Hashem, Malach Hashem. Oh, we're talking about a Malach Hashem. We're talking about an Ish. Who is this Ish? All we know about him is that he can fight, and he fought with Yaakov. So what's really going on? Is it a question? I don't know, but it bothered me like. There are lots of things which we have to come on to Chazal, that Chazal tell us and which we don't know from the Pshuta Shel Mikra. But why make so nothing of him? And I think, I really think, that what the fight was about, and on that I have a shtickl which I wanted to tell you, but I'll not say it now because it's going to take too long. But it seems. What does the Malach say afterwards? When he gives him the book, find Mashamecha, he said Yaakov. He says Lo Yaakov Yeomer Ad Shemcho Ki Im Yisrael Ki Soriso Im Elohim VeIm Anoshim VaTuchal. You manage to fight with Elohim and with Anoshim VaTuchal. Now, I checked out. You see, it says twice in Legavi Yaakov, it says twice this Elohim. In this parsha, it says, Kisurisa im Elohim, or Elohim, im Anoshim Vatuchal. And then later on, when the Rebbeinu Shalom, Taka changes Yaakov's name to Yisrael, yeah, there it also mentions Elohim, and there it's Chayil. It's a whole big issue, like when is the Elohim Kodesh and when is the Chayil? But here it's Kodesh. So, Sorisa im Elohim, or Elohim, im Anoshim Vatuchal. So Chazal say, and Rashi I think brings, that Im Elohim, that's with me, I'm the Malach, yeah? So you fought with me and you won. And then you fought with men, and that's Lovan and Esav. So what does it mean? So I just want to say it quickly, that Soriso, that's what the Mephoshim say, there's a Medrash in Bereshis Rabba, Ayin Gimel, I think it's Vov. Have a look, it's there's a lot going on over here. But the bottom line is that Soriso, yeah, she has two possible shroshim. It has a shoydesh of Sorar, and Sorar means like a tsar, like a prince, an aristocracy. And then there's Soror, which is fighting. So what does it mean, ki Soriso em Elokim? So the Medrash says it means both. In other words, Soriso is koilel both things, relative to me, right? Relative to me, you were able to have a fight with me and to beat me. We'll see in a moment what the implications are. Relative I should have said it the other way. Relative to Lovan and Esav, you fought me and you won. Relative to me, you showed yourself to be a king over me, right? Because you beat me. I couldn't be machnia you. If I couldn't be machnia you, yeah. What? How are you a king over a malach? Teretz is because you belong to the Elyonim. In other words, this is the place where the Yesoid is aveggestellt, that Yaakov and we, the Bnei Yaakov, are entities which belong both in the Olamos Elyonim, and because the Musti Yukna is Chokuk on the Kisei HaKovet, and also denizens of this lower world over here. Sorriso includes both those milas. And I think that is why he's only called an Ish. Why is he only called an Ish? Over there he was a Malach Hashem Tzvokas by Shimshon, because Menoyach and his wife weren't competition. Over here, he's fighting. Tell us, what was he fighting about? I said before, it doesn't say what they were fighting about. Why doesn't it say what they were fighting about? I think because it was obvious. In other words, he wanted to show Yaakov that he's not from the Elyonim. He wanted to be misgabe over him. He wanted him to drop to the ground and say you are a malach and I can't deal with you. But the fact is, Vatuchal, you were able to be menatzeach me. So your madrege and being chokuk in the kisei hakovod, and being chokuk in the kisei hakovod. So yeah, sorisa im Elohim Vatuchal, you won. So I'm taka only an ish. In other words, I'm suggesting, I didn't see this anywhere again, so I don't know whether it's true, but I'm just suggesting that it's possible that the reason why he's called an Ish and why so little is made of him at the politeness level, Kviyochel, is because he turned out that relative to Yaakov, he was an Ish. He was a Malach who couldn't beat Yaakov at being a Malach, because Yaakov was closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Diukna is Chokuk in the Kisei HaKovod. And that's what's going on. So noch einmal, so we are the descendants of Yaakov, and therefore we live in the same ambivalence of Yaakov. And that's why later on, you know, the name Yaakov remained, because Hashem never changed the name completely, but he said you're both Yaakov and Yisrael. So the name which the Torah uses is going to be Toloi on the Matzav. So you have both aspects to yourself. You belong into this world and you belong to the upper worlds. And that creates an ambivalence. And you see from our experiences in the Midbar that creates an ambivalence. That's why we had the problem with the Mon, and that we had the problem on the Meraglim, like we said before. So what I'm saying is that when we're being misabel on the Beis HaMikdash, I think that we ought to give some thought also to this idea that we as Yaakov's children are also from the Elyonim, and many things that we experienced in our history, Kriyas Yamsov, various of the Nisim and Mitzrayim, it's all too much to talk about now, but things happen to us which happened to us because we belong to the Elyonim. And maybe, to finish off with that sentence, when we're being misabel on Yerushalayim, on the Beis HaMikdash, maybe part of our availus could be, if we could give some thought to the fact that without the Beis HaMikdash in our midst, we lose this sense of proximity to a dimension of our potential which is way, way, way beyond anything that we could really imagine just from knowing the halachos and knowing how to keep Shabbos, knowing how to eat kosher. Yeah, that's all very, very, very meiridik for people who live down here. But there's also this other aspect of Jewishness, and we don't have that, and we don't even have a reminder of it, at least as far as I know. So that is something which perhaps we ought to be thinking about. I hope in Yitzhak Hashem that next year we won't have the problem what to talk about on Tisha B'Av. The Ribbono Shel Olam should be mezakeh us with the Yeshua. And Umocho Hashem Dimo Me'al Kol Ponim.